Scripture reading will be from Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 9, the New International Version. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way. Dear friends, I plead with Odia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the word.
Amen.
The fruits of the Spirit. You know, Jesus said to Pilate before his crucifixion that he had come to testify to the truth. And you remember what Pilate said to him? What is truth? Pilate was a very conflicted kind of a guy, and he wanted to know what truth was because he really wasn't sure. Pilate was one of those kind of guys that whatever suited him was truth. But in fact, Jesus was showing that there is a truth that he was bringing that was solid and secure. Well, you might be tempted to ask, what is peace? Usually the only peace that we hear about is when people talk about nations and people fighting, right? Well, fighting can disturb our peace, but the kind of peace that we want to focus on today, the kind that the Holy Spirit gives, is a fruit of the life of God. It is far more than just being absent from fighting. So let us see what the Word of God says in regards to peace, the kind of peace that God brings. And we read from Philippians, the fourth chapter, starting in verse 4, where it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say it, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. So we need to conduct ourselves in a way that, as if we really know and believe that God is returning. And do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And, you know, it kind of reminds me of that song from Mahalia Jackson, which says, I found the answer. I learned to pray. So what he's saying is that you may have all kinds of anxieties, but he's saying that whatever you're anxious about, take it to God. And if you do that and you take it to God, by the way, you must take it to God in faith. But if you take it to God and really believe that God is God and he will take care of it, then he says, verse 7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen? All right, so when we take things to God and we trust in God and we know that he's there, we know his power, then we have peace. Why do we have peace? Because we know that we're taken care of. And brothers and sisters, you will be taken care of. I feel the need to come back to this. You will need to, God knows your needs. Me leaving certainly is not the end of the world. And that's not going to happen right away anyway. I'll be here until a suitable replacement is put into place. And if it's not the first person, then we'll try another person. Then we'll try another person. And we'll try another person until we're convinced that God has given us the right person. And God will give you peace, and he will give you success. Amen? So don't let your hearts be worried, and don't let them be afraid. You believe in God? Believe in Jesus. He'll take care of it. You don't need to believe in me. I'm just a man. I trust that I am your friend. I've tried to be. And I trust that God will also give you someone who will take care of you. But in the end, it is always God who takes care of us anyway. Amen? Amen. All right. So don't worry. Don't be sad. Finally, brothers and sisters, he says, whatever is true. And this is interesting. He says, now, the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds. That is supernatural peace, by the way. That's something that comes from God. But then he also, what you must also realize, and you realize, and you're probably saying, yeah, okay, Pastor, but isn't there more to peace than that? And yes, there is. There is a physical component to peace that God gives to us. There are things that make us and help us to be peaceful. There are things that help us to maintain and retain our peaceful state. And there are things that disturb peace. And we'll be talking about some of those. So, you know, when God gives you peace, then you want to make sure that you don't allow other things to come in and rob you of your peace. Okay? He says, and here's some of them. He says, finally, brethren and sisters, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, not a lie. A lie will rob you of your peace. You know, people believed in a guy named Bernie Madoff. And he made off with a whole lot of money, millions of dollars. And people who were rich ended up eating soup. I love soup, but those people were used to eating steak and, you know, filet mignon and lobster tails. And he took all their money. So what is truth? You know, if you believe a lie in the scriptures, it will rob you of your peace. People tell you lies from the scripture. Whatever is true, whatever is noble. Those things which are noble, those things which are above the fray. Not the stuff in the gutter. The noble things, the higher things, the better things, where people are doing well and trying to succeed, and we're helping and we're encouraging. Things that are noble, honesty, character. Support those things. Whatever is right. Sometimes people don't care what's right. Sometimes even our laws don't seem to care what's right. But what is right? That is what we do. You know, a contractor comes out and looks at your house, and your flowers are looking pretty, and the neighborhood looks good, and all of a sudden the price doubles. But what is right? Is that right? It's not right. What is honest? What is right? You know, these are the things he says we need to think on and do. And whatsoever is pure. There are any number of things that come at us every day from the media, on the internet, on TV, on radio, from people's mouths, and they are not pure. God is calling us to purity. He says we're to be holy, as he is holy. And so there are things that are pure, and we need to let go of those things that are not pure. Whatever is lovely, whatsoever is admirable, this is something that is respectable, admirable. Think on those things. And if there's anything excellent, or praiseworthy, to be praised. Think on those things. Think about such things as that. These are the things we're to put in our minds. These are the things we're to occupy ourselves with so that we are not robbed of our peace. Because those things rob you of peace. Whatever you have learned and received and heard from me and have seen in me, this is Paul writing to the church of the Philippians, put it into practice and the God of peace will be with you. So what he's saying is, train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. It's kind of like that. Paul was saying, look, I have conducted myself in a Christian way among you. So whatever you've seen from me that is godly, that is what God agrees with the scriptures and is right, then do it. And if you do it, peace comes. So what he's saying then is, when you don't do those things that you know, and you don't do those things that you've been properly instructed in, you have a lack of peace. Let me take you back from there so you hear me. So in other words, how often, whenever I have deviated from what my mother taught me, have I ended up without peace? Whatever you've heard and learned from me, you know, that's what mothers and fathers and family, extended family, is supposed to do, right? We're supposed to model the right things and teach the right things so that those who come after us can have peace. They can have prosperity. They can walk in right ways. And he's saying that that's what we need to do, because I can guarantee you the times when I've had my most restless times without peace and without comfort and without reassurance are the times when I've departed from the things that I was taught that were right. So if you want to have peace, then the things that you're taught that are, we just read about, that are true, that are respectable, that are honorable, that are holy, that are praiseworthy, that are above the fray, if you need to focus on those things if you want to have peace. If you focus on everything that is foul and besmirched and wrong and immoral and hurtful, you will not have peace. You're asking for peace to depart from you and to depart from your house. And so just to recap, then those things that are true, those things that are noble, the right things, the pure things, the lovely things, the admirable things, the excellent things, the praiseworthy things, walking in God's way. These things are helpers to our peace. They help peace. God can give you peace. And you can take that peace away by not following these guidelines. That's just the way it is. That's the name of that tune. All right, then John, the 14th chapter, verse 26, very interesting. It says, talking about the Holy Spirit, but the Comforter, other versions might say advocate or other names for the Holy Spirit, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, because you know the Spirit is also called the Spirit of Jesus. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you, because when we walk in Jesus' ways, we have peace, we just read, right? And then Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. So evidently, there is, as I mentioned, a peace that God gives, and there is a worldly peace. The difference is the worldly peace, just like joy, which I mentioned in the other sermon, comes and goes more easily, far more easily, than the joy that Jesus gives. That God gives. God gives a peace, which we will see in the scriptures, Paul describes as, passing understanding. In other words, it's beyond reason. It's higher than the other peace that you can get. You know, because I can get peace. You know when I get peace? I go out on the walking trail, put on my walking shoes and some exercise clothes, and I go out on the walking trail, and as I walk through 5 miles of wooded area with streams and animals running across the pathway and birds chirping, I get peace. As I sit up in a tree overlooking 15, 20 feet up in the air, overlooking a forest of oak, and the sun comes up, and I hear birds chirping. Then pretty soon the squirrels come out and they're running around and scurrying around. As I hear a hawk or an eagle fly in and take a mouse, I know that may seem cruel to you, but that's nature, I get peace. As I throw a line into the water and a fish tugs on it, I get peace, especially if I catch it. I get peace. There are things in nature that God has created that give us peace. When I sit and talk to a person and we have a meeting of minds and I say something to them or they say something to me that increases my understanding or brings me joy or brings me happiness or brings me fulfillment or greater understanding and appreciation of where they are, and they get a greater understanding of where I am, guess what happens? I get peace. And so God gives us all these things. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So evidently, fear is one of those things that takes away peace. Amen. When you're fearful, it's hard to be at peace. And in that regard, because God says to us over and over so many times in Scripture, not to be afraid. You remember, you realize the Bible is full of admonitions for us not to be afraid? And why is it so full of admonitions for us not to be afraid? Because we're often afraid. I like to ask the question, and other authors have asked the question, what would you do if you were not afraid? It's a good question to ask yourself whenever you face anything. What would you do? You're facing this thing. You're trying to make a decision. A good thing to ask yourself in the process is, what would I do if I were not afraid? It'll often change what you do if you answer it honestly, you know? Because being afraid keeps us from doing so many things in life. And I love it when I read this, I just thought it was so wonderful. It says, good morning, this is God. I will be handling all of your problems today. I will not need your help, so have a good day. I will be handling all your problems today. I will not need your help. So have a good day. And, you know, I had to ask myself that question when I thought about retirement and succession planning. I didn't just start asking myself that question last week, you know. I've been asking myself that question for about 10 or 12 years. As I look down the road, say, the day's going to come one day. How am I going to feel about it? Am I going to feel condemned? Am I going to feel like I'm deserting God? Am I going to feel like I'm deserting the church? You go through all this, and you ask yourself, if I really trust God, and if I say that we are really in his hands, and the church is in his hands, and all these people are really in his hands, and he's the one who does ministry. I don't do ministry. My ministry is not redemptive. Only the ministry of Jesus is redemptive. Therefore, if he did all this with me, coming from where I came from, what can he do with whomever he wants? And then I answer the question, what would you do if you were not afraid? Amen? It's a good question. So, God gives peace through the assurance of eternal life. Fear robs us of peace, and anxiety takes away peace. And that's why the scriptures tell us not to be anxious, but instead just take our request to God in faith and pray to him about whatever it is we are coming up against or is coming up against us. And then the Lord, the God of peace, will keep our hearts and minds through Jesus Christ, because that calm washes over you. Have you ever been in a situation like that? You're in a crazy situation. You should be scared to death. And all of a sudden, a calm washes over you. I've heard people tell me that they're getting ready to go into surgery, and they're lying there on the gurney, or they're sitting there in the hospital room, and they're scared to death of the surgery. And then they prayed about it, and they got people praying about it. And all of a sudden, a peace just washes over them like a soothing salve or lotion just washes over them, and they're no longer afraid. I was in a situation when I was 16 years old. I can remember, I was walking home from a long day of activity at school, and I had done basketball afterwards. I walked home in the sun, and I got home, and I got blurry. Everything was fading, and I passed out. They had to take me to the hospital. The initial reports from the doctors were not good. In fact, they kind of indicated what got back to me was, I probably wasn't going to make it. Probably was going to die. And I can remember making my peace with God. And I can remember sitting in my bedroom thinking about the prospects of not living, of dying at my early age. And I can remember my friends who were coming to visit me because they word got out into the school community. I was very popular in school. And they were coming kind of, without saying so, kind of paying their last respects. But before they came, a calm just washed over me. It just washed over me. That's a peace beyond understanding. You can't understand that. It's not logical. But a peace just washed over me. And it was like the Spirit said to me, it's okay. I got you. You're in my hands. I got you. And I just let it go. I just let it go. I felt like whatever God's will was going to be all right. And as you can see, I recovered. So there is a peace, my brothers and sisters, that you can have that people cannot understand. They won't understand it. It can be in the face of all kinds of trial, even death. And that's what some of the martyrs are experiencing today. I've seen people getting ready to be shot, getting ready to have their heads lopped off, and they're smiling. How is that possible? Because there's a peace that goes beyond understanding. Those people that are about to shoot them, those people that are about to behead them, don't understand that peace. They don't understand that the confidence that God gave them, even as Jesus said, you know, and as Stephen said, I see the heavens open and I see the Son of God seated at the right hand of the Father. Whoa. That peace, that reassurance that God gives to us. Romans, the 5th chapter, is very interesting. Verse 1. Therefore, see, because Jesus has given us this kind of peace. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because he has come and sacrificed himself for us. And because we have faith in that, we have peace with God. Whereas we used to have a hostility between us and God, and we were not communicating with God, and we really didn't know God, and we were afraid that God was angry with us. Now we're at peace with God. Through whom, that is Jesus Christ, we have gained access by faith into this grace into which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of glory, the glory of God. Because we know and believe that God has saved us. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. That's what I was talking about. We glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character produces hope for the future, because we hang in there and we see that God is with us. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given unto us. And it is the Holy Spirit that gives us this peace. The Bible says we're reconciled to the Father. Adam and Eve went away from him and disobeyed him. And we were separated, mankind, from him all that time until Jesus came and lived a perfect life and brought us back to God. Amen? And now we have this peace. Jesus came to give us peace. And peace is not just the absence of conflict or problems. As we've seen, you can have peace in the midst of your problems. Now, there's another thing that tears away at our peace. You know what it is? Sin. It's true. Isaiah 59, any deliverance of the gospel on this respect would be remiss if it didn't bring up the fact that sin causes a break and a destruction of our peace. Isaiah 59, verse 1, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor is his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities or your sins have separated you from God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear you. I'm reading through Ezekiel. It's full of that. For your hands are stained with blood, your fingers with guilt. Your lips have spoken falsely, and your tongue uttered wicked things. No one calls for justice. No one pleads a case with integrity, with honesty and genuineness. Yeah, I'll give it to you for $12,000. And they know it's only worth six. I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to give it to you for 14. What happened to the integrity? What happened to the honesty? They rely on empty arguments. They make arguments. People make arguments that they know don't make sense. And they'll stand there right in front of your face and tell you that argument over and over again in hopes that you're going to accept it. And they know it's a lie. They utter lies. They conceive trouble and give birth to evil. They hatch the eggs of vipers and spin spiders' webs. That's how God compares it. Anyone who eats their eggs will die. And when one is broken out, an adder or a snake, a poisonous snake, hatches. Their cobwebs are useless for clothing. They cannot cover themselves with what they make, because what they make is evil. Their deeds are evil deeds. Acts of violence are in their hands. Remind you of any place? Remind you of all of what's going on around us? Acts of violence, the deeds are evil. Acts of violence are in their hands. Their feet rush into sin. They are swift to shed innocent blood. Sounds like our cities and our suburbs. They pursue evil schemes. Like my mother used to say, they sit up at night thinking of ways to take away your money. Sit up at night hatching schemes of how to take advantage of widows. Read through Ezekiel. It talks about what happens to those people who mistreat the widows, who mistreat the aliens, who mistreat the fatherless. In other places, God says that if you mistreat those people, he will mistreat you. Their feet rush into sin. They are swift to shed innocent blood. Innocent blood. People haven't done anything to them. Sitting in their house and getting shot. Sitting in their cars and getting shot. Being robbed. Women with babies, pregnant. Being thrown down on the streetways while somebody takes their purse or takes their car. Little old ladies being beat up. How do you beat up somebody that looks like your grandmother? They will get theirs. Either in this life or the next. They will get theirs. They pursue evil schemes. Acts of violence mark their ways. The way of peace, they do not know. There is no justice in their paths. And the reason that they don't know peace is they're confused. They are not walking in the way. They have not obeyed God. They have not done the right, the decent, the noble, the honorable thing. And their peace that would have been there, could have been there, has departed, long since departed. And they are now just living out a life that makes no sense. The way of peace they do not know. There is no judgment in their paths. They don't know how to judge. They have turned them into crooked roads. No one who walks along them will know peace. So that's what I was saying. So if you want peace, God has given you peace through Jesus Christ. He has given you forgiveness of your sins. He has given you eternal life. He has given you eternal hope, because he says you already have eternal life. Even now, while you're still in the flesh, he's given it to you. All you have to do is accept it and obey him and walk in his ways. It's not just enough to accept him. People think we just accept Jesus and live any kind of way we want. You have to walk in his ways. You have to obey him and surrender yourself to him, because he can also take it back. No one who walks in those paths will know peace. So, what have we learned then? Sin takes away peace, because it separates between you and God. You know what it is that makes for peace? Relationships. A relationship with God and a relationship with your fellow man makes for peace. Notice that when you have a dispute with God or with your fellow man, your parents, your sisters and brothers, or anybody that you know, your coworkers at work, you notice how peace leaves you? It leaves you. So relationships are then also a key area for peace. First of all, a relationship with God. and also a relationship with our fellow human beings. And when you're at odds with all your fellow human beings, I know some people who are always at war. I saw a guy yesterday, and I know the face and I know the look. I've seen it on dozens and dozens of people. I said, this is a very angry person. Sure enough, when his mate or whoever she was came back to the car, he said, he lit into her in such a way that let me know that there's no peace in that relationship and there's no peace in that home, if it was his wife or his girlfriend or mistress or whoever. There's no peace in that home, the way he was talking. So relationships are a touch point for peace or for a lack of peace. How we relate to people can either increase and enhance our peace, or it can take our peace away. That's why you got to be careful who you marry. You even need to be careful who you date. Some people can take that peace away. There are circumstances and things that will take that peace away. And when you find yourself on the other side of the rules and the laws and the regulations and the wishes of God, your peace will not stay. It will depart from you. So then as Christians who know the will of God, we need to be striving, as weak as we are, to stay in the will of God and to obey God and to call upon him for the strength and to stay close to him through prayer, the study of his word, through a meditation of his word, through worship. Because it's then when you have peace. Have you noticed that when you have a great day of worship, or maybe you listen to your favorite spiritual song on the radio, it doesn't matter. You notice how peace, I see them in the cars. And then, man, they're going, they're dancing, and they're got their hands raised, they're just gone. And they're at peace. Because when you worship, you unite yourself with God through the Spirit. And when anybody that's connected to and united to God has peace, that's what heaven is. You're in the presence of God. Anybody who has not made themselves an enemy of God, who is in the presence of God, has great peace. People that say that they went someplace and they came back because they saw the light and they went towards the light, and what did they tell you? Almost without exception. I'm not arguing the believability or the unbelievability of it all. I'm just saying, what do they have? They describe peace like they never known before. People who make their peace with God, who accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and are brought into the family of God through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, what's the first thing? They have such unbelievable peace. Being in the presence of God brings peace, brothers and sisters. It brings peace. So reconciliation with God and man brings peace. You know, you had this big falling out with your sister or your brother, and then finally you get to talk about it and you resolve your differences. What's the feeling you feel? Peace. Because the healing of relationships brings peace. And the healing of our relationship between us and God brings peace, as well as the healing of our relationship between us and man. Obedience to God brings peace. You know when you're trying to obey God, and you feel peace when you're trying to obey God. You know, you're at this restaurant, and you go and you pay for your meal, and the person at the restaurant cashier's desk makes a horrible mistake. They give you back $20 more than you're supposed to have. All right? And $20 is $20, as I like to say. So you walk out and you take that $20 and you fold it in your pocket. But you don't have peace, because you have disobeyed God. And you have not been in reconciliation and peace with that poor person that's going to have to talk to their boss about why they're short $20. You have not loved your neighbor. You wouldn't want them to do that to you. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So, but when you take that $20 and you go back, as hard as it is, and you hand it to that person, you say, I think you made a mistake. I believe I counted my money over and you gave me $20 too much. Even though you hold on to it while they're trying to take it back. You go away and you have peace. Because you did the right thing. Whatever is right, whatever is good, whatever is a good report, whatever is honorable, whatever is trustworthy. Think on these things. Live this way. Amen? And you will have peace. Amen? Book of Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 6, the final scripture says this. The mind of sinful man is death. But the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Amen. Join me in prayer. Join me in prayer. Great God, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you that you came to give us peace, and peace that won't even be understood by many people, because we have real faith and trust and confidence in you, that your word is true, that no matter what happens to us in this life, that we have eternal life because we have given our lives over to you and we have received your Spirit. So whether we live or die, we will see your face one day. And Lord God, we thank you that we can have that kind of reassurance and hope that brings us peace in even some of the worst situations. As we can be in bad situations and just the knowledge that you love us and that you're there for us and that our future and our life now even is in your hands brings us peace. And there are many things that you give us in this life that can bring peace. The chirping of birds, the handshake of a friend, the quiet confidence of knowing that we're loved by family and friends. So many wonderful things that you give also add to that peace. Help us, Lord, to seek those out and help us to cling tightly to the promise of salvation that you've given, which brings us the greatest peace of all. Help us to hold to and to cling to and to live by that which is noble and peaceful and honorable and above reproach, that we may be the children of our Father in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.